Angela Romine, who have agreed to be there and sit on the panel and engage with the community as well. And Melanie Bach, the president of the Galloway Village Neighborhood Association, is going to be there giving us a small presentation. So we're just trying to facilitate a conversation, acknowledging that crime really is a problem here in Springfield, and have that conversation of ways that we can start swinging the pendulum in the opposite way, getting us back to once what was the Queen City, which is not being known for crime.
Now, where's the location and time again?
It is at the RC Event Center on West Battlefield at 6:30 p.m. It's on the left, same side of Battlefield if you're heading west as Hy-Vee is. If you get to Hy-Vee, you went too far.
Facebook page, any other sort of website people can go to if they want more information?
We have a public Facebook page, Queen City Watchdog public page, and we're on the internet at queencitywatchdog.com.
All right.
And on our mailing list.
Yeah. Anything else people need to know?
It's open to the public. There will be three little presentations. We'll be hearing a presentation from the Greene County Sheriff. We'll be hearing from Isabel's House and from Galloway. And after those, it's open forum. You're there. Ask your questions. We just wanted to get that engagement going.
All right, Michael Hasty, it is the Queen City Watchdog, and we'll make sure to have all that information up as well. Appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Let everyone know about it.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, you bet. Have a great one coming up. Governor on Biden's mandate. He says Biden doesn't know what's going on because he skips the weekly governor's meetings. He doesn't even bother to tap in on these calls that they're having. Well, this could explain some of the problem, potentially. I mean, in reality, I suppose in fairness to the Biden administration, they probably know it wouldn't do much good. Even they know having Biden in the loop on that probably isn't going to make much of a difference. Here's traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, all of your real estate needs. Are you looking just to buy a little extra land? Are you looking to, I don't know, buy some investment property? Are you looking to flip a house? Are you looking just to move out of the city, downsize? Whatever the reason may be, Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. I'm telling you, this is who you want to go with. I mean, it's just straightforward as that. You can listen to me. I think most of you trust me. You know that I'm pretty particular about whom it is that I recommend. But even beyond that, you can read reviews, Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate on her Facebook page, or anyone that you have an opportunity to talk with who's ever used her services. You're going to hear that same consistency about how fantastic she is, how she keeps you in the loop, and she's a really nice person at the same time. All of her information you can find under Nick's endorsements, KSGF.com. Looking to buy or sell Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. Got the governor of Nebraska slamming President Joe Biden Sunday for the administration's vaccine mandates, as a lot of Republican governors have done. Among other things, he indicated that Biden does not know what is going on in the different states because he doesn't attend his own administration's weekly governor meetings. When asked by Fox News anchor Chris Wallace whether he was being cavalier with the health of the people of Nebraska, Governor Ricketts responded, quote, "What we're doing is focusing on preserving our hospital capacity, which we've successfully done in Nebraska." He noted, "We've got the third, or tied for the third, lowest mortality rate of any state in the country for people who have contracted COVID-19, and so we protected that hospital capacity to provide that care. And again, we can look at the data specifically around children and see that risk. Last year in Nebraska, if you were age 10 to 19, you were 26 times more likely to die in a car accident than you were of COVID-19. He continued on, quote, "So the president should look at the data, and maybe the president should attend one of the weekly calls his administration has with all the governors. He's not been on one yet since he's been president. And maybe he should talk to some of the governors and ask them about what's going on in their states, because he appears to be pretty ignorant on what's going on in places like Nebraska." Now, this puts on one hand, you've got a completely valid concern here. You've got the president of the United States who seems indifferent to talking to other states, particularly those that seem to have lower death rates. That if you look at the current state of affairs now in some of these states, you can go, okay, well, things seem to be going well there. What are they doing? Does that have any connection to the results, or is that just an inevitable outcome? You know, these are the things that you evaluate. And so the president seems completely indifferent to actual results. On the other hand, realistically, I think we all accept the fact Joe Biden has no idea what's going on anyway. He just doesn't know. This is not someone who could reasonably comprehend what it is that a variety of different states, a variety of different governors are doing, and be able to evaluate that and make some sort of educated decision regarding how to move forward in other capacities. And thirdly, I don't think he cares anyway. It is clear this is political for him. Let's not forget, he and his running mate were encouraging people, or at least indicating they wouldn't trust a vaccine developed under Trump. Claiming, of course, that among other things, it might get approved, but there could have been political pressure, people threatened. So even if approved by some of these organizations, you couldn't necessarily trust that it was a legitimate, genuine recommendation by the CDC or the FDA, because Trump was known to be a bully and he was going to bully them into it. And of course, two of the top vaccine people from FDA announcing their retirement because it wasn't Trump that was doing that, but it's the Biden administration that is. It's purely political. This idea, incidentally, Biden arguing that governors that do not believe it is the government's role to mandate vaccines, something that Biden himself said months ago. So they haven't changed. Biden was asked about the possibility of the government mandating vaccines. He said that is not the role of the federal government. So Biden is the one who flip-flopped on that, not these Republican governors. That notation lacking in coverage of this particular issue. In some of his recent remarks, he suggested that Republican governors were putting children's lives at risk. Can we please get a grip on some context here and the numbers? I swear to you, you talk to some people, they think that ICUs across this country are overflowing with young COVID patients. Now, as the governor of Nebraska noted in talking regarding context, that in looking at the data, last year in Nebraska, between the age of 10 and 19, you were 26 times more likely to die in a car accident than you were of COVID-19. Beyond that, there was a comparison. More kids shot in Chicago than have died of COVID-19 across the entire country this year. Over the course of 2021, more minors have been shot in Chicago than have died of COVID-19 in the entire United States. This according to data from police and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A total of 214 children, 17 years old or younger, have died of COVID-19 so far this year in the entire country. Comparatively, Chicago police told Fox 32 in Chicago earlier this week that 261 children had been shot in Chicago. Now, Joe Biden and other Democrats will talk about what a wonderful job Lori Lightfoot is doing as mayor of Chicago. They will praise her. They will visit with her. If she needs help during reelection, they'll be there to lend it. Yet in her city, more children shot than have died of COVID across this entire country. And Joe Biden has the audacity to say that Republican governors are putting children's lives at risk. The numbers don't add up. They don't come anywhere close to adding up. And only a negligent media could allow this sort of narrative to continue. And you know that it's effective amongst a certain portion of the population who think that thousands of kids are dying. They hear Biden make these comments and they think that all these children's lives are in danger. You got our European friends that the left once loved to point to as an example of how things should be done are not masking kids in school. And that ranges from it's unnecessary to it's counterproductive. Every bit of science says that it's not necessary. Other countries that we've long been told to look at and to emulate are not masking kids in schools. You have more kids shot in Chicago alone than have died of COVID across the U.S. this year. Yet look at the way that the government-run schools are treating this. And it's all by people who shame the rest of us, claiming that we don't listen to science. The word gaslighting has been used so much this year, and rightfully so. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny, a high near 90 today, 69 overnight with a 20% chance of showers, thunderstorms Tuesday, a high of 88. Thunderstorms likely overnight Tuesday and Wednesday, a chance of thunderstorms with a high of 82 expected. Current temp 68. The former president, Donald Trump, he did an interview with Fox News Digital. And there was a discussion about the COVID vaccines, and he noted, he's like, you know, if you remember when I was president, there were literally lines of people wanting to take it. It is this media presentation that Trump is somehow responsible for people not taking the vaccine when Trump was the guy who did what everyone said he couldn't do, and that was expedite the development of the vaccine through his Operation Warp Speed. And it was Democrats, as he also noted in the interview, who were telling people don't trust it if it's developed under President Trump. Kamala Harris was one of those individuals. He also said, in reference to Democrats and people in the media and all the experts, that they would trot on the news to tell you that there's no way it could be done. And if it were done, you should really not trust it. After all, you should be very suspicious. He said, quote, they disparaged the vaccine and now they wonder why people aren't taking it. Aside from that, even it, so I know you can look at that and you can say, well, they're playing politics. They were just playing politics. They didn't really truly mean that. I want to play to you an exchange between Peter Doocy of Fox News and Jen Psaki, in which it's been noted, with all these mandates, guess who's not mandated to get the vaccine, the injection? Those who are coming here illegally. Individuals, which, by the way, we know where a lot of them are because they've got them in cages. So this is the exchange between Peter Doocy and Jen Psaki on that particular point.
You're trying to require anybody with a job or anybody who goes to school to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but you are not requiring that of migrants that continue walking across the southern border into the country.
Well, look, our objective is to get as many people vaccinated across the country as humanly possible. And so the president's announcement yesterday was an effort to empower businesses, to give businesses the tools to protect their workforces. That's exactly what we did. But certainly we want everybody to get vaccinated, and more people are vaccinated, whether they are migrants or whether they are workers, protects more people in the United States.
But it's a requirement for people at a business with more than 100 people. It is not a requirement for migrants at the southern border. Why?
That's correct.
And then she moved on from there. She's gotten to the point where she's like, you know, I'm not even going to argue. Yeah, you're right. And it's not because she's exhausted, trying to hide the truth, and she's just, you know, conceding the point. She recognizes it doesn't matter what she says. She's like, yep, you're right. Who's next? Can we stop arguing about this? We know what we're doing. I got to tell you, it's very, very frustrating for me when you have these so-called experts, you have these journalists that will write up these stories, really trying to figure out what is it about these people that just don't want to get the vaccine? What is it about them? What sort of conspiracy theory do they believe in to think that, I mean, they've got it. Why don't they just listen to science? Can you really, truly not figure out why some people don't trust these folks? And I'm not even talking about just sheer credibility. How do you logically explain to somebody that they should listen to an administration that talks about how it is so vitally important to get vaccinated, and that governors, Republican governors, that aren't pushing vaccines are responsible for killing people, yet that same administration waives the mandate for illegals that are coming into this country? How do you explain that? I mean, there's only a few logical explanations. One of them is, I suppose, what they just want these migrant children to die. Is that what we're supposed to believe? That they're hoping that they die, that they are putting their lives at risk knowingly? That's what they accuse Republican governors of doing when they don't force mandates. Or do they believe that ultimately, when it really comes down to it, this thing is going to run its course? Some people are going to get it with the vaccine. Some are going to get it without the vaccine. Some people are going to die. Some people aren't going to die. And so ultimately, it really, truly doesn't matter. And so that's why, when it comes to certain groups, they're okay saying you aren't going to be mandated to do this. See, they're never forced to answer these questions. But you get this irresponsible and unethical push by people in the media that portray individuals that have these questions as somehow out of touch, as somehow not listening to the experts. No, they are listening to the experts, but what they hear are contradictions. They hear contradictions that are never rectified. They're never, the individuals that push the contradictions are never forced to answer for them. And that's on the media. What you continue to see, the people who aren't automatically lockstep in and get the vaccine are generally the ones who are doing the most listening. And when they hear contradictions constantly, in real time, we're not even talking about the difference between Fauci saying, oh, you don't need a mask a year ago versus today, where he, well, the science has changed. That's what, you know, every time he changes a position, well, you know, things change, and so we evolve with that change. That's science. Okay, fine. But what about in real time? What about an administration that says you have to get vaccinated? It's the only way that we're going to get over this. Anyone who's not pushing vaccines, they're not protecting kids. They are responsible for all these deaths that are going to come. But then that same administration, in the same time frame, says, well, unless you're a migrant, you don't need to worry about it. The people who are in charge now, that are pushing the mandates the hardest are the ones that create the doubt, that create the confusion, that create the suspicion. It isn't a conspiracy theory to listen to a source, a person who's in a position to make these decisions, talk out both sides of their mouth. Noticing that and utilizing one's brain to recognize maybe these people aren't completely honest about why they're doing what they're doing, or, you know, at the very least, they're not consistent, and they're never forced to answer those inconsistencies. Any thinking person is going to take pause. That's not a conspiracy theorist. It is, I don't know if it is willful anti-intellectualism with these people or if they just aren't that smart. But anyone who can't understand or is incapable of figuring out why there are still people out there who aren't getting the vaccine are not very intelligent people. And incidentally, it's, you know, it isn't even that. I mean, there's a myriad of different reasons. That's why it's so frustrating. These, and of course, I've locally talked about Steve Polk, and well, I just can't figure this out. Are you that obtuse? I mean, there are numerous reasons, but that just happens to be one of them, the credibility of the people who are pushing it. We've talked about all the other legitimate reasons that people have. And can we stop comparing kids getting COVID to kids getting polio, for Pete's sake? This is one of the most idiotic comparisons I think I've heard in some time. It's right up there with claiming that people who are getting prescribed ivermectin from their doctors are taking horse dewormer. All positions that media seems to want to take. Yet they are the ones who portray themselves as being really in tune with the facts and the science. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I want a great homeloan.com. It is a very easy process. As easy as you're going to find, you go to iwantagreathomeloan.com if you just want to know, even before you start looking for a home. I've talked about this at length, the need to have everything ready, all your ducks in a row. You have an open house coming up. Maybe you just say, oh, we've always thought that was a neat-looking house. We're not actually going to be interested in buying it, but we would just like to take a look at the inside on a Sunday. And you do it, and then you think, oh, my gosh, we have to get this house. But you haven't been pre-qualified. You haven't been pre-approved for anything. And the house, the owners get like three or four offers, and you make one as well. But you can't prove that you're actually qualified while the others can. You're out of the game. So you go to iwantagreathomeloan.com. You put in some basic info. Someone from Don's team, Don or one of the others, will get with you and ask for some additional information that you will pass along. And they'll let you know what all your options are. And if you're like me, you might have several different options. It could even depend on where it is, what community you're looking to live in. You know, different loans are available for different areas. iwantagreathomeloan.com because you do. California recall, so it begins. Woodland Hills voters report trouble casting ballots. From KTLA News, some San Fernando Valley voters think they're being wrongly prevented from casting a ballot in the upcoming gubernatorial recall election. Voters say they were told the computer showed them as already having voted, even though they had not. West Hills resident Estelle Bender, 88, said she was far from the only person who was being told incorrectly that they had already voted. In addition to others who had experienced the issue and two other women outside the polling place, Bender said that inside, quote, the man next to me was arguing the same thing. Bender said she filled out a provisional ballot and left really angry. I can tell you exactly what's happening here because this is nothing new. These are individuals that had somebody already cast a ballot in their name. Hence, they show up to vote and they're told you already voted. And they say, no, I haven't. Now, it varies to some degree from state to state. But ultimately, a provisional ballot means you get to cast a ballot, they keep it, and then you have to go and find some way to prove that you actually who you are. And then they will cast your ballot. The problem is, the way a lot of different states do it, is they don't know which ballot in the bucket, if you will, somebody cast in your name. So you can't uncount that vote. This is the biggest reason that you have a push for early voting. And that is so people can gather up these, and this isn't anything new, this has been done for a very long time, and they fill out ballots in as many people's names as possible. And one of the things that, like, and I know I keep saying it varies from state to state, but states decide their own election laws, and so how this process works, in some states it's easier than others. But the one thing that is consistent is the fact that who votes and when is public information. Now, it doesn't show how you vote, but you can tell when people voted, in what election they voted in. This is information that generally has been used by campaigns. You're running for some office. You have a finite amount of campaign dollars to spend. You don't want to send flyers to a whole bunch of households that the people never vote, because that's wasted money. So what they do is they're able to see who voted, when they voted. Do they only vote presidential elections? Do they vote every election? And then you specifically target, for campaign purposes, people in those houses. That's generally how that information is utilized. Some states it's easier than others to obtain that information, but ultimately it is available. So when you hear that they want to have, in certain states, every single person registered, what that does is then allow them, or it increases the number of people who are eligible for a ballot but will not vote. How do you find those people out? Well, you request the information to show who votes and who doesn't vote. And then you see names on there of individuals who have automatically been registered to vote, but they never vote because they didn't have any interest in it, and then you request a ballot in their name. Well, what happens if those people actually show up to vote? That appears to be what's going on in California. They're told, sorry, you already voted. You can fill out a provisional ballot, but then you have to come back, and you know, in California, I'm not sure what they have to do in order to prove that they actually are who they are, and then they'll accept their ballot. But anyone, of course, now, if Larry Elders somehow manages to win, let's say that Gavin Newsom, the people of California, think things are running swimmingly in California and they're just fine with all of the people that are fleeing the state, and they think that's a sign of wonderful things. We want to keep things on the track they're on. We keep Gavin Newsom. Then all of this apparent fraud that is going on will be ignored, and anyone who brings it up is a potential terrorist, is a danger to democracy. But mark my words, if Gavin Newsom does get recalled, the left will pitch a fit to high heaven about all of these instances, and they will use that to try and discredit the election. Odds are, according to the polling they're doing, that's probably not going to happen. And one of the reasons, of course, is the fact that they're able to gather up all these ballots and cast them in other people's names. And we know which side always does it. It's the side that wants to make it easier to do that, not the side that tries to make it more difficult to do that. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Six Capitol Police face disciplinary action for, among other things, taking selfies with the so-called insurrectionists on January 6th. 38 cops investigated. Some were seen high-fiving some of the people that were coming into the Capitol. They were taking selfies with them, one seen wearing a MAGA hat, directing protesters around the building. Six of them were suspended with pay in January. Now, for the elected officials, up to and including, apparently, former President Bush, who equates 9/11 with what occurred on that day in the Capitol, I challenge you to find pictures of law enforcement having a great time and high-fiving people as the towers came down. I challenge you to find any sort of selfie that firefighters were taking at the scene that day. This continued disgusting comparison between those two events diminishes greatly what actually occurred on 9/11 and shows that shamefully, for those who even were alive during that period of time, including one who was commander-in-chief, they have clearly forgotten what occurred that day. It should also be noted all of the time and effort that's gone in to investigating these individuals and the apparent holding them accountable for their actions, yet one Capitol Police officer shot and killed an unarmed veteran, and that person was cleared. Very interesting, isn't it? Glenn Beck's coming up next. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed.